This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, April 8th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Alley. Here's today's headlines. IPM bill cuts out chemicals, solar over empty canals, and USTR names new transparency officer. Bay Area lawmaker nixes chemical pesticides from IPM. Assembly member Ash Kalra has been raising concerns in the ag community over a bill that would change the state definition of integrated pest management to focus on sustainability. The proposal would counter decades of established IPM research and practices. Kalra amended his bill last week to make it more aggressive. He crossed out all mentions of chemical tools, supplanting them with, quote, an ecosystem-based strategy for pest prevention. The Assembly Ag Committee will take up AB 2509 later this month. Remember, the Newsom administration ran afoul of farm groups when it touted IPM to support a transition away from conventional pesticides. The Department of Pesticide Regulation later crafted the term sustainable pest management to serve as a platform for eliminating the use of several controversial pesticides by 2050. State officials have stressed that both IPM and SPM incorporate conventional pesticides. With solar over canals, farmer points to the elephant in the room. Amid grim budget news, Governor Newsom has been jumping on opportunities to tout the administration's spending on water projects. Last week, he joined a routine snowpack survey near Lake Tahoe. He then traveled to Merced County to join local and federal officials for a press conference announcing $19 million from the Biden administration to install solar panels over canals. In 2022, the state invested $20 million for a pilot project in Turlock to study the feasibility of the technology. UC Merced researchers had found the concept promising for reducing water evaporation while generating renewable energy to support powerful pumps along the state and federal water systems. At the press conference, Newsom defended the high cost for the solar projects and noted that, quote, some folks don't want these damn things near their canals. He called the concept a no-brainer and reasoned that the co-benefits outweigh the steep upfront costs. Newsom also acknowledged pushback in the ag community over converting productive farmland to large-scale solar development and said the canal projects would alleviate some of that pressure. Another sobering message came from Canon Michael, a prominent farmer who chairs the board of the San Luis Delta Mendota Water Authority. While Michael shared in the excitement, he noted that such projects only work if you have the water to run through them. He described widely held frustration in the Central Valley over low state and federal allocations during the above average water year. He also pointed to aging water infrastructure and called for more investment from officials at the event. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. USTR announces acting transparency officer. The Office of the United States Trade Representative has a temporary new Chief Transparency Officer. Acting General Counsel Juan Milan has been designated to serve as the agency's COT on an acting basis. According to a USTR statement, Milan will lead the agency's efforts to put into place transparency principles that were released in 2021 after President Biden took office. Milan is also supposed to identify further opportunities for improving transparency and the development of U.S. trade policy. The 2021 principles include finding, quote, inclusive opportunities for the public to participate in the development of trade policy and trade initiatives, including changes in policy that affect existing trade programs, according to the agency. USTR is promising to, quote, facilitate participation in trade policy development by a broad range of stakeholders. USTR will seek public input with respect to new major trade initiatives when feasible, even when not required by law. Now keep in mind, USTR has come under fire over the past year for the alleged influence that big tech companies have had on digital trade policy. Some in the ag sector and their allies on Capitol Hill don't believe USTR is doing enough to reduce barriers to ag exports. USDA seeks applications for export market development programs. The Agriculture Department's Foreign Agriculture Service has opened up the application process for five of its programs targeted at developing export opportunities in foreign markets. The Market Access Program, the Foreign Market Development Program, the Technical Assistance for Specialty Crops Program, the Quality Samples Program, and the Emerging Markets Program. Applications for all five programs will be due June 14th. Wolf depredation confirmed for the first time in Colorado following its reintroduction. Colorado Parks and Wildlife officials have confirmed a wolf is the cause of a calf's death for the first time since the species was reintroduced to the state in December. The agency released 10 yearling and adult gray wolves into state-owned lands in Summit and Grand counties in December that, under a reintroduction plan, it was directed to create under a 2020 ballot measure. CPW Area Wildlife Manager Jeremy Huntington said last week that an investigation of the dead calf, quote, indicated wounds consistent with wolf depredation. The field investigation found multiple tooth rake marks on the calf's hindquarters and neck and hemorrhaging under the hide, consistent with wolf depredation. Wolf tracks were also found nearby, Huntington said. The rancher who lost the calf will be able to submit a claim to be compensated for its fair market value, the press release said. Judge cuts punitive damages in Roundup case in Missouri. A state judge in Missouri has agreed to reduce punitive damage awards to three plaintiffs who sued over Roundup exposure from $1.5 billion to about $550 million, Bloomberg reported on Friday, adding that Bayer plans to appeal the verdict because it believes the judge did not apply the law correctly on damages. The judge reduced the award to comply with Supreme Court guidance that limits punitive damages to no more than nine times the amount of compensatory damages, which in the case were $61 million. Finally, here's today's He Said It. When California doesn't have enough water to go around, everyone should have to play their part. That Russell Buster Atterbury, chair of the Karuk Tribal Council, in an op-ed for the Sacramento Bee, urging lawmakers to support sweeping reforms to the state's water rights system. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, April 8th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.